The woman you just saw, she was being tossed back and forth by a sea of problems. She was on the verge of drowning. She needed to be rescued. She needed to be saved. And as I was watching her, I thought, you know, that's what life can be like. We enter some problem and it's like some storm of life hits us and we can feel like we're being tossed back and forth in the ocean, and sometimes we feel like we're even going to drown. I love what the psalmist wrote about what God can do in the deep, troubled waters of life. Take a look at Psalm 18:16, and look at how this psalmist describes God's rescue. He says this, "He reached down from on high, and he took hold of me." Say it with me. "He drew me out of deep waters." I have some good news for you this new year. When you start facing deep waters in 2012, Jesus Christ is going to be reaching out to you to grab you and to rescue you. Now, if you want to read a great book on rescues, read the Bible. The Bible is full of God rescuing people. It's full of one rescue story after another. As you read this, you read about the story of God rescuing Abraham. And then you read about the story of God rescuing Jonah. You read the story of God rescuing Noah. It's the story of God rescuing Joseph and Moses and Gideon and Jacob and Ruth and King David and on and on and on. It's a book of rescues. And what's so cool is as we enter this new year, guess what? He wants to rescue you as well. He does. Because every problem that I just mentioned, the people who were rescued, they had problems that only God could solve. And you and I will inevitably face problems in our life this new year that only God can solve, that only God can rescue us from. So I'd like you to hear about some of the problems that some people at New Hope Windward were going through that they needed God to rescue them from. Take a look at this up on the screen.
So I had my daughter who was there, and I was pregnant. This is my second child. And so he was driving, then he said he was going to dump us off somewhere. Then he started to go up towards the pulley, and he had always like thrown this thing out, well, I'm going to throw you over the pulley one day. I didn't know what was going to happen, so as he was driving, I was slowly unbuckling my daughter on this side. And then I just scooped her up one time, and I just got out of the car, and I just started running. And so, like, I had my three kids, but it was really not a good place to be.
It was abuse, but then there was so much more than that. There was fear, because I wasn't only abused sexually. I was beaten a lot. You know, there was just that fear of the person who abused me.
As we got older, we kind of drifted. What I was doing, I wasn't home much. I was doing my own thing.
Ultimately, I was sad every day because I felt like he didn't care, didn't love me or the family anymore. I thought that, you know, I just had to get through this and then it would be okay and we would, you know, get divorced and that would be that. I honestly felt that was gonna be it for us.
You know, after I realized what happened to me, it was shame. I felt shame, and I hid it because, you know, it's nothing that you want to talk about.
In terms of the finances, you know, when I left, I did not have a job. I was living on my student loans. I took out student loans to pay for my sitters. There's things like, you know, like we go to the store, And then people like assume like you're on welfare. So they're like, oh, just push EBT. I'm like, I don't have one of those, you know. Be nice, but I don't have one of those.
As I got older, you know, I didn't find myself worthy. So I would just, you know, do whatever, sleep around. And it was just, it was not a good life. And now, where I'm sitting at and looking back, I now know what it was that I was trying to feel. It was the love that I was seeking.
I decided that the only way that I could do this is if I just packed a bag and just left.
I guess that's when I took a step back and realized that I didn't want it to be over.
In a little while, you'll hear how Jesus rescued each of their individuals from their problems. But let me ask you, what problems have you been drowning in lately? What has been crashing you around? What kind of troubles, what kind of struggles have you been having? Well, I looked in the Bible because I wanted to see, God, what are the different types of problems that you want to rescue us from? What does the Bible say are the things that he can rescue us from, the troubles, the problems? And as I was studying the Bible, did you know that I found that the Bible says God can rescue us from over 150 different types of problems. 150 different types. Now, I don't have time to go over all 150 of those, but I have 10 of them that I'd like to review with you right now. So if you pull out your message notes, these are written on your message notes. These are the types of problems that Jesus can rescue you from in 2012. Number one, take a look at your notes. The first is this. Jesus can rescue us from, here it is, the stresses of life. The stresses of life. So here's my question to you. What have you been anxious about lately? What have you been stressing about? Your job? A relationship? Finances? What's been keeping you up at night? Here's the good news. The Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. And one of the ways the Prince of Peace rescues us is that he will infuse in us what the Bible calls a peace which transcends all understanding. And as you call on him and you have a relationship with him in 2012, there are times he will infuse in you this peace in the midst of a stormy problem. And you'll sit there and you'll be going, why am I feeling so much peace when I should be totally stressed out right now? And the answer is because God has given you a peace which transcends all understanding. So this year, Jesus can rescue you from the stresses of life. Not only that, take a look in your notes. The Bible says that God can rescue you from the attacks of others. The attacks of others. Now, he doesn't always thwart the attacks of others, but he will be with you, and there are many times he will actually thwart an attack from a person. The Bible also says, and here's one all of us can relate to, is that God can rescue us from resentments, grudges, bitterness. Let's talk about this for a moment. Most of us over this holiday season, we went to family functions. We went to work-related Christmas functions and gatherings, and we were around people. And all of us have at least one person in our life who annoys us. Would you agree with that? Yeah, don't look at them right now. All of us have at least one person that irritate us. They rub us wrong. They get our blood pressure going. And what can happen is when we're around these difficult people, we can pick up resentments and grudges. And I think every person has at least one relative who's like an elevator that doesn't go up to the top floor. You know what I'm talking about? We have this just difficult relative or coworker. In fact, just let me survey you. By show of hands, how many of you have a relative who's like an elevator that doesn't go to the top floor? They're just frustrating. Go ahead and lift your hand up if you got one of those. Okay, yeah, a few hands there. For those of you who didn't raise your hand, I have some news for you. You're the relative. sorry to break the news to you. Some of you are like, I liked this Howley guy until he just said that. Where's Pastor Wayne? I'm feeling resentment right now towards him. Sorry. And so, sometimes I do stuff, I'm like, you're such a dork. Oh, man. But you know, because people can be difficult and because we're all imperfect, it's real easy to pick up grudges, to pick up resentments. And what can happen is we can just be tossed around in a sea of bitterness. And it can just make us miserable. And the Bible says God can rescue you this year from your resentments. Not only that, take a look at this next one. And some of you need to hear this. God can also rescue us from a guilty conscience, from feeling regret, from feeling guilt, shame. Now, in a group this size, I know for sure some of you walked into this theater and you are feeling shame. And some of you this past year, you did something or didn't do something, and these waves of shame just crashed all over you. Waves of regret. And you're going, oh, why did I do that? Or, oh, why didn't I do that? Oh, why did I say that? Why didn't I say that? And you struggle with having a guilty conscience. The Bible says that Jesus can rescue you from a guilty conscience. That alone is worth having a relationship with him. Because it is so burdensome to walk around carrying the weight of guilt. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he paid for all of your mistakes that you made in 2011. He paid for all of the mistakes that I made that brought me shame. And so we can go into 2012 guilt-free. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Not only that, but the Bible says that God can rescue us from the fear of death. The Bible also says God can rescue us from the judgment of hell. The Bible says God can rescue us from, here it is, financial distress. Now, some of you aren't feeling financial distress, but when your credit card bill comes in January, woo, you're going to want to listen to this message again. You're like, oh, no way did we spend that much money. Because of the holidays. And so God can rescue us over time from financial distress. And then here's one. The Bible says God can rescue us from the prison of addictions. Now, when you think about addictions, what do you think about? Most people think about alcoholism, think about chemical drug dependency. But the Bible says that God wants to free us and rescue us from all addictions. All addictions. Did you know that God can free you from the addiction of Facebook? I just saw some elbows. God can free us from the addiction of codependency. He can free us from the addictions that face us in life, and that is great news. And then the last one I listed in your notes, God can also free us from brokenheartedness. Now, some of you here came in with a really heavy heart. And you had a difficult holiday season, or maybe a really difficult 2011. And if the truth be known, your heart's broken. You know, some of you, you had somebody betray you. Man, it just ripped your heart out. And you've been hurting. Others of you, this was the first holiday season you faced without a loved one because they weren't with you. Others of you have been abandoned. Others of you, the dirt is just fresh on the grave. And man, you've been hurting. And if that's you, I want you to zero in on this verse I'm about to share with you. Because God wants to rescue you from your brokenheartedness. The Bible says this in the book of Psalms. It says, God is close to the brokenhearted. If you're brokenhearted, God is close. He's near. He is with you. He's embracing you. And the verse goes on to say that he saves those who are crushed in spirit. that God says when you are brokenhearted and you turn to Him, He comes to you and He saves you. He rescues you when you're crushed in spirit. And I don't know about you, but that encourages me, because life can be full of brokenness and times where our hearts hurt. So, I just shared with you 10 things the Bible says God can rescue us from in 2012. I just shared 10 things. There's over 140 more different types of problems that God can rescue you and I from in this new year. Now, let me summarize by saying this. There is no problem that you go through in this new year that God doesn't care about. He cares about every single thing you're going to go through this new year. He cares about your small problems. He cares about your big ones. And He has the power to help you make it through both. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Now, let me be real clear. What I'm not saying is this. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God will keep you from all these problems. In fact, take a look at what the book of Psalms says about the trials and the challenges we can experience in life. Psalm 34:19 says this. It says, many, meaning a lot, many are the what? Afflictions. That means troubles, problems, trials. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, which means godly people will have many problems. But say it with me. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. And so here's the deal. In 2012, God's not going to keep you from all of the problems that are going to come your way. But what'll happen is if you turn to Him when you start having a problem and you call on Him, He will walk on water on top of those stormy waters, and He'll walk right towards you. He'll reach His hand out to you and say, grab a hold. And while you're being tossed around in those choppy waters, He'll pull you up as you keep your eyes fixated on Him, and He will help you walk on water so that you can sit there and the storm may not be calmed, but you're sitting there going, man, there are waves crashing all around me, but because Jesus has my hand, I am making it through this trouble really well. And that's because Jesus can help you be a water walker. A water walker. And so, I'm not saying you won't have problems, but Jesus can be there with you. Now, as I was putting this message together, I was like, wow, Lord, there's so many troubles and problems you want to rescue us from. This is so encouraging. Thank you. And then I had this thought. How come there have been times in my life when you haven't rescued me fully? I mean, God, how come there have been times where, I mean, you say you want to rescue, but you haven't fully rescued me from some of these problems? Think about that. Why is it that some believers don't get rescued from financial distress? Why is it that some believers don't get rescued from God, even though He says He wants to rescue us? Well, there are many answers to that question, but let me share with you in an illustration why many of us don't experience the full rescue of God. And I'll explain it to you in an illustration. I have three daughters. They're ages 13, 12, and 8. And all of them, when they were at the age of 3 or 4 years old, all of them did this to me. I remember that, you know, one of them would be sitting there at age 3 or 4, and her shoe would be untied, and she'd be sitting there, and she'd be trying to tie her shoe. And I, as a father, would see this, and I'd come up to her, and I'd say, honey, let me help you tie your shoe, because I know you don't know how to handle that. Let me help you. I'll tie your shoe. And every one of them did this at some point. I come up, let me help you tie your shoe. No, no, no. I do. You ever had that happen, parents? And then she sat there and she'd be like, honey, I can help you. Let me help you. No, no, I do. She'd sit there, and then, you know, I remember one time she came up to me and she lifted her foot up and her shoelace wasn't tied at all. She's all, see, I do. I looked at her, I was like, no, you don't do. And I thought, you know, we do that to God. We go through some problem, some trial, and God goes, here, here, let me help you. I can help you in this problem. And you know what we say to Him? No, I do. God says, let me help you let go of your resentments. Choose to forgive them. No, I do. We hold on to that grudge. You have some relationship problem. God says, no. Here, grab my hand. Let me help you. No. God, I'm going to handle this on my own. I do. Now, when we decide to handle life's problems on our own, God has no obligation to rescue us. Did you know that? So many of the problems that I didn't experience God's full rescue were because I did not seek His help and follow Him fully. In fact, take a look at this verse in Psalm. Psalm says this in Psalm 18:27. Let's read this verse out loud together, okay? Ready, go. You rescue those who are humble. See, God doesn't rescue prideful people. When we say, I do, I'm going to handle this on my own, God says, okay. God doesn't rescue people who say, I'm going to handle this all on my own, God. So if we ignore the reach of His hand, if we ignore His words and His warnings, there are times that God will let us fall. Now, let me be clear. God doesn't want you to drown in your problems. But when you and I say to Him, God, I'm going to handle this one on my own. I'm going to lead my own life right now. There are times that God will let us fall. Now, He doesn't want you to fall. But there's times when God will let you fall and let me fall so that we realize we need a rescuer, that we really need Him. So when I say, God, I do, there are times He will let me fall.
Oh,
I taught her how to do that. So when we say to God, I do, I'm going to handle this on my own, there are times he will let us fall so that we are once again reminded that we need him, our rescuer. So then, how do we get rescued by God when we face the inevitable problems that we're going to experience this new year? Well, if you're taking notes, here's the first step the Bible says we need to do anytime we face a problem. Here it is if you're taking notes. Number one, we need to call on Jesus to rescue us. The first step to being rescued by Jesus is to call on him. It's to say, God, I need your help. You see, God saves those who ask him to save them. God rescues those who ask him to rescue them. Take a look at Psalm 91:15. This is a great verse on the importance of calling on God. It says this, when you, what?
Call
on me. I love this. God says, I will be with you. I'll be with you in your trouble, and say it with me, and I will rescue you. So the first thing you do when you face a trouble this year is you just say, God, help! Help me, God! You start having, ladies, you start having relationship problems with another guy, you just go, oh, God, save me from this terrible man! Men, you start having struggles with a woman, you say, oh, God, help me now. Deliver me from this woman. Just take me home to heaven right now. You call on him. And all kidding aside, you just say, Jesus, help me. I can't handle this one on my own. I need your help, Lord. This one's not one I can solve on my own. And he goes, you're right. And he reaches out his hand. And you grasp it. That's the first step to experiencing God's rescue plan. Because he's ready to rescue you. He will help you. He will be with you in your troubles. And he will deliver you. I'd like you to hear how Jesus rescued my friends when they called on him in their problems. Watch this.
You don't realize how much you need God, and until like you really, really need God.
We've been attending New Hope for over 8 years now, and I know God, but I think my relationship with God wasn't where it needed to be. I drifted from my wife, I drifted from God.
In terms of the finances, you know, when I left, I did not have a job. I was living on my student loans. I took out student loans to pay for my sitters. My rent was going to be due, and I only had enough for one more month of rent. That was a point where I was just really relying on God.
I had already, you know, started coming to New Hope, and so I knew a little bit about what it was like to have a relationship with God.
I would be in service, and I watched the halal. I had this yearning of wanting to do that because I used to dance before when I was younger. So I joined in, and what I felt was safe in the halal, in the group. I felt safe to be able to share. Even though I was scared, I knew I would be safe.
I guess you find your own place that we're all comfortable in how we relate to God, you know, and it got more personal for me when I would pray or read scripture. That was the place where I found comfort.
The big ways that I think we've seen like our lives change, I think, is definitely, well, I think education, of course, is very important to me. So my children have been able to go to good schools, and they've gotten financial aid, and they've gotten to enjoy summer programs that would have cost a lot of money. I got into my master's program. I got to send my daughter to Europe for her school. So I think that's been kind of neat. And then all the while, we've been able to also give money away to other people.
I started to pray again, and I haven't prayed in a while. Even started praying with my wife, and it just started to change me.
Yeah, I think before everything was so negative, and
everything was negative, everything was about me.
And there's, you know, lots of drinking involved. That, and you know, he decided on his own to. That wasn't gonna work for him.
All of a sudden, like, you just get this peace, and then you're able to just fully, like, release whatever happened in the past. Is that's in the past, but you can just move forward.
I was with the halal group, and you know, Ro asks, you know, is there anything that is burdening you guys? You know, we'll pray for each other, and it was after we were dancing, practice after practice, and my heart was pounding, it was racing, and I just felt like I just need to let it out. As I told them, it was just this big relief and big burden that just was off my shoulder.
We both brought God now into our marriage for the first time and made my relationship with God a little stronger, as well as our marriage stronger.
It was kind of like a slow transition to knowing that he's really real. Like, it's not just you hear about it and you sing about it and you can read about it.
I felt like I could breathe again.
It's cool to hear Jesus rescue them from their problems. And the reality is, in this new year, he wants to rescue you and I in the various problems that we experience. So the first thing we have to do this new year when we face a problem is we need to call on God. But there's another step that we got to take that a lot of us sometimes want to avoid. And here it is. The Bible says not only do we need to call on God, but number two, if you're taking notes, we also need to cooperate with Jesus' rescue instructions. So see, once we call out to God, then we got to do what he says. And this is the part that we don't always like, because sometimes God will ask you to do something you don't want to do. You know? You say, God, help me with my finances. And God says, I will. Start saving money. Come again. Come on. I don't think that was God. I don't think that was God. And we don't always want to cooperate with his rescue instructions. But the Bible says that if we love Jesus, we'll actually do what he says. Take a look at this verse, John 14, 15. Jesus says this. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You'll obey what I command. You'll do what I say. You'll follow my rescue instructions. And here's what I found in my own life. The more I cooperate with him, the more I get rescued. The less I cooperate, the less I experience his rescues. It's just the way it works. Many of us will call on God, oh God, help, but we don't always want to do what he says. So this year, let's resolve. Let's say, God, I'm not only going to call on you daily, but I'm also going to do what you tell me to do, whether I feel like it or not. Amen? Amen. Now, so let's say you're having a problem and you're calling on God. How do you hear his rescue instructions? How do you know what he's telling you to do? Well, let me ask you this. What is the number one way that God will speak to you this year? What's the number one way he's going to communicate his rescue instructions to you? It's found right here in the Rescue Manual for Life, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the rescue manual for me. And the reason why, if you're new to New Hope, you'll hear us talk a lot about the importance of doing what we call daily devotions. And that's where you spend time at Jesus' feet, reading his words written to you and to me. And you sit at his feet and you say, God, what do you want to speak to me today? We call that daily devotions. And the reason why we want you to do that is not so you can sit there and go, well, I'm just a super spiritual Christian. I just did my daily devotions. Check. We don't tell you to read your Bible for that. We want you to read your Bible and do your devotions because we want you to hear from God. We want you to hear his rescue instructions for life. And I can't tell you how many times he has spoken to me when I was doing my daily devotions. God, I'm struggling with this. God, I'm having problems at work. And then this verse would be like supernaturally highlighted for me. Whoosh. I'm speaking that right to you, Dave. Wow. I can't tell you how many times God's encouraged me when I was discouraged because I did daily devotions. I can't tell you how many times God has corrected me when I was starting to drift or slip because I did my daily devotions. I can't tell you how many times God's given me instructions for another person who would come to me with a problem that I have no clue on how to give them advice, but because I did my devotions, I've got advice that's really good because it comes from the Bible. And so, let's do this, New Hope. It's January 1st. Let's commit today. Let's say, Jesus, I'm going to read through the Rescue Manual for Life this year. I'm going to read through the Bible from front to back. You know, you think about it. You know how many Christians will read the newspaper from front to back, but they've never read their Bible from front to back. So let's say this year, God, I'm going to read through it. I had a gal come up to me this past week. She's all, Pastor Dave, Pastor Dave, Pastor Dave, come here. I was all, what? She's all, Pastor Dave. I think, what? She's all, guess what? I was like, what? She's all, you're not going to believe it. I think I will. Just tell me what. She said, I read through the entire Bible this year. My first time ever. I was like, good job. I said, how did it help you? She's like, oh my gosh. My marriage is better. I heard God speak to me. I was like, yeah, yeah, he likes to speak to us through his word. She's like, it helped me so much. I said, good job. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, let's do that, New Hope. Let's be able to say in December, Pastor Dave, guess what? What? I read through the Bible this year, and I grew closer to God, and I heard his rescue instructions. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Right on. Take a look at Psalm 91:14. I love this verse. It says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. You know what I find is the more I read this book, the more I trust God, the more I feel close to him. I'd like you to hear how God continued his rescue mission with the families you've been hearing about on screen once they not only called on him, but they cooperated with him. Watch this.
I work at a school, and I just think that I'm blessed. And I just, he took me from where I was when I was like 19 and making very bad choices to where I am now. And it's a very different place than where I was.
You know, I do devotions in my room, and like, it's so dark. Like, I have these blinds, and it's like just this light comes in, and as I'm reading, I'm like saying to myself, God, you're with me.
You can really feel it if you really ask for it. Sometimes, like in the midst of everything kind of going on, and you don't really know which way you're going, this way or that way, and you don't really know, but somehow, like, it's a very heavy, like, peace that can just come.
A lot of people have told me this, and it's so true, is that there's a peace about him that's never seen before, as long as I've known him. That's the blessing, I think, is that we both found ways to work within ourselves. You know, through God, we work within ourselves to become better as individuals and better together as husband and wife.
You know, I have this book that I keep all of these blessings in. So I have a book and some things that I have anxiety over, some things, and like I'll write it down, and then, but you still keep moving in the way that you're supposed to keep moving. Sometimes when I flip back through my book, I'm like, oh, that's been answered, that's been answered, that's been answered, and you can cross these things off your list. It's pretty amazing.
Within the past, say, 6 months to a year, I've learned things that I didn't even know about my wife. You know, it's just from sharing and communicating.
It's not the same man that I've been married to for 20 years. He's such a great husband. And with our kids, they're so happy. You know, my one daughter said we have our dad, you know. He's just such a honorable man of God. That's how I feel, and I respect him so much.
As we drifted, me and my wife drifted apart, our family kind of drifted apart, our kids and everything. And now, It's like our family is whole again.
God is mindful of me, and he does think about me. And his grace covers everything from the past that I've been through.
Even though I go through trials, I trust that he will get me through it.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I never get tired of hearing about lives changed by Christ. I never get tired of hearing about another life rescued by Christ. And so this year, this new year, God wants us to call on him daily, to build relationship with him, and he wants us to cooperate with his rescue instructions. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but when I hear messages like this, I go, okay, it's going to be a good 2012. I get all pumped up. Okay, God, if I call on you and I deepen my relationship with you and I cooperate with what you say, I'm going to experience more of you and I'm going to experience more of your blessings, and woo, it's going to be a great year. And I get all pumped up, but then you know what happens? I leave the theater and life sets in. And the reality is that all of these things start pulling me away from my relationship with God. There are so many temptations that can keep you and I from calling on God daily. There are so many temptations that can keep you from coming to church regularly. There's so many temptations that can keep you from reading the Bible regularly. So I want to share with you three common temptations that we all can face this year that I hope we can just become more aware of, and then in essence we can fight these temptations so that we can grow closer to God. These aren't on your notes, but you may want to write these down. These are three things that can lure you from a relationship with God. These are three things that can pull you from experiencing all God wants you to experience this year. The first is this. I call these the three P's. The first is we seek possessions. We seek material possessions. And the thinking kind of goes like this. Oh, if I just get more clothes, new clothes, then I'm going to be more happy. Oh, if we just redecorate the house, whoo, we're going to be more satisfied. Or if we do a $150,000 addition to the house, we're going to be happier. Honey, I know my car works and it gets me from point A to point B, but if I get a new car with chrome rims, I'm going to be happier and more satisfied. We say, oh God, if I just get that Hawaiian gold bracelet that says Ku'u'ipo on it, then I'm going to be so much more happy and satisfied. And you know what we do? We buy the Hawaiian bracelet. Or we buy the possession. And we often will even go into debt to buy possessions. And so we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. And it brings a short-term satisfaction, but once we get the bill, it brings long-term pain. Now, there's a famous theologian who years ago spoke about how possessions don't bring lasting satisfaction. And this theologian was in a rock band. His name, Mick Jagger. You guys know Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones band? How many of you know Mick Jagger? Let's see how many old people are in here. All right, yeah. All the old people. New people like Mick Jagger. I got them moves like Jagger. I got them moves. Oh, yeah. Okay. I know him. So Mick Jagger sang a song years ago. It was one of the most popular songs they ever sang. And he said what is so true about possessions. This song is called I Can't Get No Satisfaction. You guys remember that song? Remember how it goes? You guys want me to sing it? You're like, no, please don't. All right, here we go. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction, but I try, and I try, and I try. And I try, I can't get no, da, na, na. Oh, no. Oh, hey. Thank you very much, New Hope. Oh, I really don't feel safe now. Why do I do this? You know how hard it is to be me? I go home, I'm like, you did not do that. Yes, you did. I like have this conversation. No, yes, you did. It's on tape. Oh, no. But you know what? What Mick sang about is really true. In this new year, the pursuit of possessions, it's not going to give you lasting satisfaction. And what can happen is we pursue these possessions, and then we end up having to work more because we got to pay more bills. And then we go, oh, I can't go to church because I got to work more. Or I can't read my Bible because I got to work. And it's work, 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 and it pulls us from Jesus. I want you to hear what Jesus said in Luke 12, 15 about the danger of possessions. And this is a good word for all of us. Luke 12, 15, Jesus said this, be careful to guard yourselves from every kind of greed. Here it is. Life, Jesus said, is not about having a lot of material possessions. And so we got to guard ourselves from the pursuit of possessions. But not only that, here's the second temptation that can pull you from Christ this year. It's not only possessions, but here it is, it's people. People. And what can happen is we can pursue a relationship with a person or persons that can cause us to devote more time to them than to God, than to our relationship with Christ. And so the thinking kind of goes like this. Oh, if I just get a boyfriend, I'm gonna be so happy. Pray for me that Keone asked me out. And then you start dating Keone and you're like, oh God, pray that he breaks up with me. We go, oh God, if I can just get married, then I'll be happy. And then you get married, and a year later you're like, oh God, if I can just get unmarried, then I'll be happy. Or you say, oh God, people, God, if we just have a baby, oh Lord, help us get pregnant. And then God gives you two kids. And then you go, oh God, grow them up and move them out. Now! Why did you do this to me? I thought you loved me. Everybody laughing, our parents. No, let me be clear. Let me be real clear. Kids are not bad, okay? And all relationships are not bad, okay? But what I'm trying to say is that possessions and people will not satisfy that inner desire that only a relationship with Jesus Christ can satisfy. Does that make sense? So we pursue possessions, people, and here's the last thing. We pursue pleasure. We pursue pleasure. And the pursuit of pleasure can really cause us to be pulled away from doing all that God wants us to do in 2012. And so here's how the thinking goes. You know, the purpose of life is to be happy. And let me just say this, folks, the purpose of life is not to be happy. The purpose of life is to become holy. Amen. Holy. It's to become more like Christ. Now, Christ will give you happiness, but the pursuit of happiness over a relationship with him is not going to make you happy. You pursue him first, then the joy and happiness comes. But what happens is we think pleasure is the purpose of life. So we seek thrills. And sometimes we take pills or we drink and we get drunk and we go, yeah, the purpose of life is to have pleasure. And that's why you can go to these parties, and some of you saw this over the holidays, and you see 50-year-olds who are partying like they're in their 20s. What's up, brother? You just come from New Hope? You see that holy pastor? He's crazy. Give me another one. This will give you new hope. And no, it won't. Because once the buzz fades, you're still left with you. You're still left with your problems, and you're still left with this gaping hole that only a relationship with Jesus Christ can patch up. Does that make sense? So this year, you want to get close to Christ. I know you do. You wouldn't be here on New Year's Day unless you wanted to be close to Christ. The way we do is we fight these three temptations. We fight the pursuit of possessions. We fight the pursuit of a relationship with a person over our relationship with Christ. And we fight the pursuit of pleasure. We put Christ first, and then he blesses us with possessions and with the relationships he wants us to have and the appropriate pleasure that he wants us to be blessed with in life. But it starts with us just saying, God, Jesus, I'm sorry I've chased after these things more than I've chased after you. I want a blessed new year. And so Jesus, come to my rescue. Can we show our appreciation to Nate and Chandra? They did a great job. So those are our marching orders for 2012. We want to have one of the most blessed years of our lives, and it's going to happen with us following hard after Christ. It's going to happen with us calling on Christ and cooperating with what he says. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to lead us in a time of prayer. As your heads are bowed, and if you're comfortable with it, go ahead and close your eyes. Let's just take a few moments to reflect upon what God has been speaking to us today. I want you to just ask God in your mind right now, just say, Lord, what are you speaking to me today? What are you saying to me? For some of you, God may be saying to you that it's time for you to put him ahead of these other things that have been distracting you from a close relationship with him. For others of you, maybe God's been saying, it's time to start a relationship with me. For some of you, maybe God's been speaking to you in this service and he's saying, you're gonna make it. You're gonna make it. I'm with you. I love you. You matter to me. And I have a plan for your life in 2012. And no matter what trouble comes your way, God says, I will be with you. And I'll be your rescuer if you call on me and you cooperate with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these amazing people giving you the first day of the year, coming here to service. Thank you, Lord, for their hearts to follow hard after you. And Jesus, I'm grateful that there are so many examples of how you want to rescue us in this year, 2012. And so, Father, we commit today to call on you when troubles come. Thank you that your word promises you will be with us and you will rescue us. You may not always calm the storm, but you will walk on water and you will grab our hands when we call on you and you will lift us up so we can walk on water with you. Help us keep our eyes fixated on you, Jesus, in the midst of the storms of life. And Lord, give us hearts that want to cooperate with you. Forgive us for the times that we've said, I do. I'm going to handle this on my own. Jesus, there's a lot of rescues represented here that you've already done. And there's also rescues that need to happen. Father, I pray that you would begin rescue miracles right now. Rescue marriages that are sinking and falling apart. Rescue those with broken hearts, Jesus. Father, rescue those in financial distress. Rescue those who need health healings. Do what you do so best, Jesus. Rescue us. As your heads are bowed, for some of you, your moment right now has come for you to begin a relationship with the great rescuer. His name is Jesus Christ. And in a few moments, I want to ask some of you who've never begun a relationship with Jesus to lift your hand up. And you say, Dave, why do you want me to lift my hand? Well, I want you to show Jesus that you want to be rescued. So in a few moments here, while everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand and reach up towards the sky. Because Jesus is reaching out towards you today. He is. And he wants to grab your hand and have you begin a relationship with him. Not a religion, a relationship. And some of you may be thinking, oh, Dave, man, I'm not spiritual enough to have a relationship with God. It doesn't matter. You come as you are. You say, well, Dave, I don't know. I got some doubts about the Bible. It doesn't matter. Grab your hands. He'll help you work through those doubts. Yeah, Dave, but you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. He paid for every single one of your sins and mine on the cross. So now's your moment. If you've never begun a relationship with Jesus Christ, right now, with everybody's heads bowed, no matter where you're at, if you're in the overflow, if you're watching this around the world, or you're in this theater, right now, I want you to lift your hand towards Jesus, lift your hand up towards the sky, and begin a relationship with him right now. Go ahead and lift your hand. He's ready to grab it. Yeah, God bless you. All the hands over here on the right side. Go ahead and lift your hands up. Begin that relationship. Grab his hand. Those of you in the back on the right side, all the way in the back, I see your hand there, brother. Welcome. All the hands here in the back, in the center, here in the center. Go ahead and lift your hands up. Those of you in the overflow, God sees your hands. Those of you in the back left here, many hands. All these hands over here in this left section. Good job. Good job. Anybody else? Good. You can put your hands down. I'm going to lead us in a rescue prayer. And, you know, many of us have prayed a prayer like this, but let's pray it as we enter this new year as though this is the first time we've ever prayed it. Say these words with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, that he died on a cross and he rose from the dead so that I can have life everlasting. Please forgive me for all my sins and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, be my Lord, be my Savior, be my life leader, my life rescuer. I belong to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's congratulate those who said yes.